irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, only on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, 10-10-2014.
It's
whatever
Friday.
That means, yes. It is Friday. That's the important thing. Yeah. The hell with the date, right?
Well, yeah, I guess 10-10-14 doesn't really... When it was 10-10-10, it's like...
Right, exactly.
You always say something when... But it can't be 14-14-14.
No, it'll never happen
done,
again.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, 12-12-12 was the last time.
Last one.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, but there's other combinations people are going to come up with, I'm sure, that yeah. They're going to worship, you know. Oh, wow, look at this, you know. A special date.
That's true.
Yeah. So today, a beautiful weather today, huh? I mean,
yeah.
Not hot. It started overcast, pretty cool. In fact, I think it's the chilliest morning I remember in a long time.
Yeah, by the end of next week, I think it's going to be cool till the end of October.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then what? Again, it's going to start being
well,
hot?
Well, I know. I, when I watched the weather and they said that, and it only really gives us like a week and a half of cooler weather, but I yeah. like the warmth. But
yeah, I know you do. I know you do. There's a difference between warmth and heat, though. You know,
I like
you
it
haven't
all.
Figured it out yet. Yeah, that's good. You don't get fazed by it. You've been to Vegas, though, right?
Yes.
Have you been to
but
Vegas?
I don't remember it being
that hot. What,
no.
Do you remember what month of the year you went?
I went in January.
Okay, that's
then,
why, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
and
cold.
And I don't
in
remember
January.
The first time I went. When I was 12 and I traveled around America a lot, mm-hmm. I vividly remember Palm Springs I remember being with my mom and we looked at the temperature gauge and it was like 122 yeah. or something crazy like that. But we were amazed because it didn't feel that hot. Like we'd just been in yeah. Florida where you die of humidity and then we go
right.
to Palm Springs and it's 122 and
right.
it's hot, but it's not like Florida. It's bearable.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's a furnace, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I lived there twice. I never got used to the heat there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, so it's been hot here, but not as bad, I
maybe
guess.
It was a good thing living in Florida first, because that's
yeah.
kind of...
Yeah.
It could only get better.
Prepared. Yeah, exactly.
It's so humid.
The worst climate
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
Some people like the tropical weather, though, you know? I mean, it feels tropical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sticky.
Have you ever been through a hurricane there? Because I know they get a lot of them there.
No,
right?
I haven't. I've been through bad rain and flooding and, like, the tail ends of hurricanes, but not... being smack bang in the middle of one,
yeah,
thankfully.
Yeah, good for you.
But I kind of always liked the rain, and most yeah. of the time when the rain came really heavily, the thunder came, so practice got canceled.
Right. So that's why you liked
it. So we would always pray.
Yeah, give us rain in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I know. I remember when I lived in Johannesburg, it's the same kind of weather where in the middle of the day you get like electric thunderstorms, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it just pours and it gets really dark outside, like around 12,
right.
1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it clears off. And
it only lasts for like 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
I know.
All,
I would love
you.
That if that happened.
Yeah, we would get seasons during the day, four
right.
seasons during the day.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to happen. Weekend coming up. Any big plans for you? No, huh?
No.
You're all pooped out from all the partying and traveling.
I know. Too much traveling. Just
yeah.
a couple weekends at home. Before.
Yeah, just gonna.
Now I'm just planning for my mom. I'm planning. Oh, my gosh. I feel crazy. It's what?
Yeah.
Over a month away, and I'm planning the places we're going to go to dinner. And
really? Oh, God.
I have
you're
all
a planner,
the list of
huh?
I'm really not, but I don't. I know the time's going to go so quickly that she's here
yeah.
that I just want to know what I want to do with her. I know where I want to take her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to know exactly what. Like, I don't want to miss. I don't want her to leave and then
yeah.
be like, oh, I wanted to bring her here.
That's true. Yeah.
And food's something everyone enjoys together. So.
Yeah. True. Yeah. There's definitely a lot of diverse food in this town. You know,
yeah.
you can get pretty much anything you want.
I know, right?
Yeah. So
great.
That's pretty cool.
Do you have any plans?
I don't have any plans, no. No, no plans. Last week I went out of town for a couple of days, but that was it. So staying here. And
just relax.
Yeah, yeah, maybe go biking and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I miss that. And now the weather's better, you know. Right. I don't like it when it's really hot.
Yeah.
And, yeah, some people I know don't even leave the house in this heat, you know. They're just saying, you know, I'm just going where I have to go. And that's it, you know.
Oh, wow.
They won't leave the house.
I don't think it's that hot, is it?
Yeah, well, it has
maybe been. I'm just used
some
to it.
Some people don't like heat, you know. Yeah. I mean, I don't particularly like it. I mean, I enjoy the summer a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets too hot, it's just not for me, man.
Yeah.
It makes me too tired, you know.
It does. It makes me feel really lethargic. Yeah. When I get home, I'm just like...
Yeah.
If I'm on the go, and it gets to 1 o'clock, and I have an hour, and then I have to go again at 2 o'clock, I'm like, ugh.
That's tough. I know.
It's that with the heat. It's just...
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's about where I go with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Energy going up and down all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel like I'm coming up with the cold. So I'm just going to relax and...
Yeah.
Relax and chill.
Cool, cool. I'm laughing because our guest just sank in her seat here. So we're going to get to our guests in just a few minutes. We have two beautiful guests here waiting for their turn. And I wanted to bring up just a couple things that I think are important. You know, the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, has been missing for over a month. Now, this is very, like, typical of, like places, you know, where there's, like, a dictatorship and stuff like that, you know. And,
right.
And then there's only one person, you know. How can a whole nation depend on one person?
Yeah.
And then when they disappear, people don't know what the hell's going on. And they also disappear because there's things that they just don't want to reveal. So everything is, like, secretive, you know?
Right.
And I don't know how people can live in that kind of conditions, you know? And, you know, but many people just, they grew up to love their leader and worship him and everything. And that's, you know, that's what you get, you know? So then when something happens to them, then the country starts to struggle. Who's going to come after him? Who's going to pick up the mess and all that stuff, you know?
Right.
So it's... It just goes to show you, you know, I mean, you've got to be transparent in the way you govern, because otherwise things like this happen, you know.
Yeah, where just, definitely.
And this guy's pretty brutal, too, you know. I mean, just like his father, even worse. So, but the funny thing is, you know, we sit here in the West and we go, oh, you know, we wish a leader like this would go away. The problem is the governments realize that if somebody else comes along, it could be even worse. So sometimes it's better mm-hmm. just to be with the one you know.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's true. You always think the grass is greener, but
yeah, you know,
not
so,
always.
Yeah. So we've got to be happy we live here. I can't tell you how happy I am to live in the United States, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, there's no other place in the world, not even close. And I've lived in some places, you know.
Yeah.
And it's fun. I'm not saying it's not fun and everything. But for limited time, it's okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I lived in Johannesburg, I loved it. But the crime there was just too much, you know. I mean, there's no way I would have stayed there
right.
For years.
Which is crazy, because I would never think of Johannesburg as just... Not that I know any stereotype, but yeah. I wouldn't think that there would be crime there.
I know, but there's a lot of crime in South Africa because of apartheid and stuff, and then it was abolished, and so you have. It's going to take a couple generations for things to heal. You know, I mean,
right.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
And what happens is there's a big disparity in wealth there. There's mm-hmm. either very rich or very poor, so you get crime. That's what you get. You know?
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but people live there behind electric fences and, you know, and, I mean, there's carjackings all the time and stuff. So you have to be really careful. Yeah, I mean, it's like almost everybody there knows somebody who's been robbed or
It's crazy
attacked.
Because my friend who's living in Tel Aviv right now was uh-huh. just back for a couple of weeks, and she was actually in Hawaii, so we got to catch up a lot, and she was telling me all about Tel Aviv and Israel, and uh-huh. that you can leave your car door open and no one's going to steal anything.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend had left his phone in the car and he hadn't locked it, she was like, if it had been me, I would have been right back to get my phone. If
right.
that gets stolen, and I would be so upset. And he was like,
"Wow,
if
that's
it's
unusual.
There, it's
I never looked at Israel that way. You know, I mean, there's crime there too, and I can't imagine a phone would be left there if somebody saw it.
Yeah, yeah, maybe not. But she said that it's not Like, yes, they have terrorism and that, but the petty crime isn't as much, and you don't notice it as much.
Like, you'll see kids walking around on the streets at 11, 12 o'clock at night, even women alone.
Right.
And there's no fear, you know?
Yeah.
So in many ways, it's true. It is true. And mm-hmm. Tel Aviv is full of people. It's hard to get away with crime there anyway.
Right.
You know? Everybody would see you doing something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but this crime there, I mean, there's people breaking into apartments and houses and stuff. So
right.
You got to be careful. What? So how long has she lived there in Tel Aviv?
She only just moved. She's lived there about 5-6 months.
Really?
Just as everything started, she'd moved like 2 weeks before.
Really?
Yeah. But it sounds, I mean, it sounds great.
Yeah.
I want to go visit it. Like, they dance in the streets and different things.
That's true. It's, they do things like that. It's definitely a place for young people and stuff. There's a lot of partying going on, beach, you know, and, mm-hmm. and things. So it's a lot of discos and clubs and things like that. So it's fun. I know when I went last year and my son was there, he had plenty of things to do at night.
Yeah.
You know?
And she said she loves, she doesn't drink, but she absolutely loves the nightlife. It's not like LA where you go out if you're not drinking, you're kind of the odd one out.
Exactly, yeah.
In Tel Aviv, you just have fun and you dance and you're free.
Right. I mean, in Israel, people are not that much into drinking.
Right.
They're not. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but they're not, you know.
Yeah.
So people don't get drunk and stuff as much as here. So you're right. So the parties are more fun, more meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it sounded
true.
Great. Everything she said, I was like, I want to live there.
Yeah, I know. I know. Good. So is she planning to stay there for a while?
Yeah, for a while. She might be. Her boyfriend lives there.
Oh, okay.
So they're figuring out what they're going to do right now. And
okay. It's always following the guy, I'm telling you. Everybody, the same story. So right before we get to our guests, I wanted to bring this because I think this is like weird, you know. There are sexual abuse allegations at a football, on a football team in New Jersey school, high school. Now, so they're talking about, you know, like in the locker room, like hazing and things like that. And the thing is like, you know, I mean, what straight guys doing sexually abusing other guys?
Right.
I don't get it. You know, I mean, it's very gay, don't you think? I mean, yeah, I mean, I would go. It's like, I don't want to see another guy's penis and stuff. Let alone touch it or whatever it is they did to them.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's pretty traumatic, you know, because it's a form of bullying too, you know. And I think the worst form of bullying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How much more humiliating can you get?
Definitely.
So, I think all these guys should be really, you know, incarcerated and maybe made to watch some gay porn, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, just something. And there's a few sexual allegations right now. The Seventh Heaven star actor. It was something like he was recorded saying to his wife.
Right.
That
I think
20
at a therapy
years ago,
session.
Yeah. And firstly, I mean, if it wasn't a therapy session, that's something that should be confidential.
Exactly.
And then,
but except,
and now,
you know, they are forced to disclose crime, I think, therapists.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, if you tell them you're going to go kill somebody, they've got to report it.
Right.
So, but I don't know about things that happened before.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years ago, and now it's just Stephen Collins, I mean, it's just terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible, you know. And the thing is that you don't know what happened there, and everybody's prosecuting him already. And the thing is that it's everybody deserves a day in court, you know.
Right.
And the thing is, I think we've already spoken about how easy it is to just accuse someone of something, and the first thing they do is arrest them. Then they'll ask the questions. And by the time they start asking the questions, it could be too late, you know?
Right.
It's like it's going to be stuck with him for the rest of his life.
I agree, but when you get caught admitting something,
right,
it's a little bit different,
yeah.
I feel.
I know. But, But you don't know, you know. I mean, you can say that you were in a terrible state of mind or something.
Right.
And you didn't mean it or it wasn't true or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's got all that attention on him sucks. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so let's get to our guests who are sitting here patiently. And we have Lanisha. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for
having
me.
Get a little closer to the mic. Do you need to get back up on the chair or are you okay?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Because I just saw you sinking in your seat and I thought, is she going through the floor or something?
No, I crossed my legs and then I got stuck.
Oh, okay. So you lowered the seat and it went too far.
Right. I sunk.
So that's Lanisha, and we have Nicole. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Now, both of you have a last name of Smith, but you told me you're not related.
Correct.
So, and in fact, you're from totally different places, right?
Yeah.
So, and you see, so I already know, but that's why I also don't like to ask questions before.
Right.
But since these two ladies are hosts on the station, I already know a little bit about them. Yeah. So I'm going to ask them questions for the second or third time. You know?
No worries.
Yeah. No worries. So, Nicole, where are you from?
I'm originally from New Jersey.
Oh, so you're from New Jersey.
I am a Jersey girl.
Wow.
I am.
And
we don't pump our own gas.
You don't? Oh, you have other people pump it for you?
Yeah, we
have it's those full service stations. How come? So there's no self service stations at all?
None.
Really?
Wow,
really?
So it is a big culture shock moving here.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. But I found a self service, a full service, gas station here. Yeah. And I go there all the time.
Like you won't adjust to we do here.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I have to have some parts of home.
Somebody's going to put it in for me.
Yes.
But isn't it usually a lot more expensive, the gas? Because you pay for the service, right?
No, and you want to tip it's about them, the same. Know? No, you don't tip you the don't gas tip attendants. Them? No, they get paid. They get paid, you know, usually pretty well.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a real job.
Yeah.
It's a real job.
Well, waiters is a real job, too. They don't get paid well unless you
tip
them.
Well, they get paid minimum wage for servers.
Right.
But they get paid, you know, normal minimum wage for gas attendants there.
Right.
So they're making a good, you know, $8, $10, depending, $12
That's true,
an
hour. So. Yeah. Well, but at least it keeps people busy and employed, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about you, Lanisha? Where are you from?
I am from California.
California? Southern California? Like
Southern
LA?
California, like LA.
Like LA, okay. So I know, we're like beating around the bush. Where exactly in California? Yeah.
I've traveled all across the United States.
Really?
I really like Los Angeles.
You do like it here?
Yeah, I prefer.
And you've been to a lot of different places?
As opposed to other places.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I would so easily adjust like Nicole.
Really?
6 months, I would be needing to go back home immediately. Yeah.
So you have your roots here and you figure that's where I'm staying.
Well, I love to travel and I love to go various places, but when I'm there, it's hard for me to grasp the comfortability.
Yeah.
I'm not a navigation person. I like to know where I'm going. I don't know. I get confused. It's just too
much. Have you heard of maps? And
yeah. Well, I'm actually a Thomas Guide kind of person. So
yeah.
Here I am with a Thomas Guide all over the city.
Tell her what a Thomas Guide is. I don't think she knows. A lot of people don't know what that is.
Well, that's
probably even Nicole doesn't know. Do you know what Thomas Guide
idea.
Is?
Have no idea. I'm assuming it's some type of map.
It is.
It is old school. You go to like 7-Eleven or something, and they have it for the territory that you're in.
The big paper maps.
Well, it's a book.
It's a book.
It's divided into like small maps. Yes.
Oh, nice.
So you're like flipping through the pages, like, okay.
Exactly. Like you first you go to the index and look for the street name that you're looking for. Then it tells you what map and where on the map it is.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then you go and look, and then you figure out how to get there.
Based
on
where you are, the surrounding streets. So it used to be the GPS, I guess.
Salespeople
and stuff like that.
Yeah, for salespeople, you needed that. Even cab drivers needed that because it's such a spread out town, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of places you don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Live and learn.
Yeah. So that's a Thomas Guide. I would imagine they're probably out of business by now.
They're not.
They're not out of business.
But they're not.
Their sales are just not.
Yeah, because they still have people like Lanisha.
Yes, she loves books, so it fits along with her program of reading. And
that's true, yeah. I know, I love books, too. I happen to be reading 4 books simultaneously right now.
Wow.
Sometimes I like take a break, but it's hard to tell yourself, okay, I'll finish this book so I can start the next one, because you find a new one, and you go, I got to start this right away, right?
Uh-huh.
But at least I try not to read more than one fiction at a time, because when it's stories, you can get it mixed up and stuff.
I was about to say, how do you keep them all separate?
Well, when it's nonfiction, because look, I mean, I'm reading one book by Kissinger. I'm reading another book on the computer industry that just came out called The Innovators. I'm reading a television radio programming book. So those are different from each other.
Right.
It's okay. You don't get them confused.
Gotcha.
But when you get like a novel and stuff, you know, it's like you can get them mixed up easily.
Yeah.
Right, Lanisha?
Absolutely.
You find that? So did you always like to read a lot?
I was like raised in the library.
Really?
I thought I would be a librarian.
Really?
I helped out so much in the library. The card catalog, I guess that's something you wouldn't know.
No, I know all about the library. My mother is a library fanatic.
Really?
We used to go to the library, get stacks on, maybe like it had to be 50 books at a time. And she would just read to me.
Whoa.
And I think that's why I'm like, just give me whatever I'm reading, something that's educational, and get to the point.
Right. No patience for beating around the bush.
Dude. None.
Well, with me, the card catalog was special because it divided subjects. And after being in the library so long, I would assist the librarian when people say, oh, I'm looking for this. I'd say, oh, it's at 390.1, you know. But I was able to see how everything linked together, you know, how science linked with history and how history linked with religion. And I think the library is a wonderful place in order for you to build cultural awareness.
It really is, you know, and I think the younger people today rely on the internet too much.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of stuff in books that's more reliable, you know. On the internet, you don't know who wrote it. You
Absolutely.
Know, and you don't
it's
know what's
behind it. It's a good stimulator for your creative imagination as well.
It is, it is. But I think sitting there with a book, there's nothing like it, you know. Mm-hmm. I really do. So you ladies have a new show here on LA Talk Radio. Welcome
Ooh.
To the station.
Yay. Thank
and
you.
It's called Smith Custom Elite Radio, right?
Correct.
It's quite a mouthful. Tell us how you got the name. Well, we know where the Smith came from, right?
Yes,
you're
yes,
both
yes.
Smith. So go ahead, tell us, how did you get the name together?
Okay, well, Smith Custom Elite pretty much came about where just who we are, like how we winded up meeting together. We like to customize a lot of things. Mm. So we were trying to figure out if we would call it tailored or, you know, we were throwing words around. And it fit us. We like really high-end things. We like, you know, nice shopping. Rodeo Drive, it's L.A.
Yeah.
Everything's really, you know, big and expensive. So it just fit us as who we both were. It was it wasn't something that was, you know, already made.
Right. It's custom.
Yeah, it's custom made. Smith Custom Elite Radio. So, check us out Mondays at 7 p.m.
Mondays at 7 p.m. right here on LA Talk Radio on Channel 1. So, Lanisha, tell us a little bit about what the show covers. What is it that you talk about?
So we'll discuss health and wellness topics. We'll discuss mindsets of abundance and prosperity. We'll also discuss various highlights of businesses and services that people have to offer that promote luxury living and lifestyles.
Sounds good. So you guys like the finer things in life, right?
Absolutely.
Rodeo Drive and all that. That's why you're here in L.A.,
That's
right?
That's why I'm here.
You can't find that stuff in New Jersey, but in New York City you can.
You can, yes.
Right?
I was there for 5 years. So
oh,
yes,
really? You
can.
Lived in New York City?
I lived in New York. I was a real estate agent in New York for 5 years. So, yeah.
Wow.
I'm very familiar with Fifth Avenue.
What made you leave? What made you leave the real estate business?
It wasn't so much that I left it. Mm-hmm. I just really needed a new, fresh start in a new town. Being from New Jersey, like anywhere else, you know, you sort of get accustomed to the people you know, and you just want to branch out. I'm young.
Yeah.
I think I'm, you know, pretty attractive and vibrant, and I'm like, I need to
think
broaden
about,
my horizon.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't want to stay in the small place.
Yeah.
You know? Did you live in a small town? I mean,
in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty small.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows everyone there.
Yeah, you see, and that's different.
Can't do anything
here,
without
right?
anyone knowing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have a big family back there, so everyone's really protective.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know, so I couldn't really do too much.
So you need to get away on your own,
Yeah.
I mean, New York City was too close still.
It was still a little too close, It was time to fly and jump the nest.
Yeah. So how did you get into real estate? What attracted you to it?
I've always loved it. When I was little, my grandmother, she was in the process of buying her fourth home, and I was looking at the agent, and I'm looking at the house, and I'm like, ooh, I want to do that.
Uh-huh.
And when I was 13, I joined the Real Estate Investors Group in New Jersey.
Really?
And
wow.
I loved
13?
It. Yeah.
Wow.
And they took me in under their wing, and they were very, very, very protective of me again. You know, they were like, this is what you need to know, and teaching me the terminology and taking me to these places while they were working. So I worked alongside of them before I was really old enough technically to work, but I was doing a lot of work. At
wow,
that time,
very cool. Yeah. So you were pretty, I mean, you were natural at this, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, did it go well for you? I mean, did you do well?
I did really well. I worked with a lot of investors. That's really how I made a lot of my money. It wasn't so much the consumer buyers. So I stuck with that when I became an agent. Since I had a lot of friends and family, they were looking for things. But when 2006 hit, when the market crashed, it was sort of like a lot of the investors weren't buying. They were, you know, holding. And then the consumers weren't able to get loans. So it was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, so
tough time.
It was a rough time.
Right.
It was a rough time for a lot of people, you know, not just agents, but consumers and banks and everybody. So,
So what did you do after that? I mean, did you?
I got into a little bit more sales, car sales. Car sales,
Cool. So you're into sales and stuff. I mean, you like working with people and stuff.
I love working with people, but I love even more being able to create my own pay scale.
Yeah, there you go. That's the way to do it.
Being your own boss.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Lanisha, what kind of work background do you have? I mean, you came out of school. What did you decide to do?
Nothing. I decided to go with the flow. But currently, I am a business consultant. I assist people with starting and developing businesses. I prepare business plans, marketing plans, organizational plans, strategic plans.
That's pretty cool. So you must have been doing this for a while, right?
I've been doing this for a while.
So did you start your own business too and gain experience from that?
So what originally happened is I'm somewhat of a visionary. And so time would go by and I would tell people, hey, you can do this and hey, you can do that. I studied, I got a degree in business law, and I noticed that in those studies, you don't learn how to be a business owner. You don't learn how to be the boss. You don't know what to do. So I...
It geared more towards more people that get jobs at corporate America, right?
Yeah.
When you go to business school or college.
Yeah, it's more so teaching you how to be an employee or how to follow the leader, but not necessarily to be a leader. And... technically, I'm a leader, and I didn't understand that, and I felt like I wasted my time. Mm. So I went through a series of learning and developing and following other courses of study and realized that most of the people that go out into the business world do not have adequate enough training, and that training usually is I want to say, an obstacle if you don't have a business plan. If you have the business plan and you know how to gear your training or you know how to gear the resources that you need in order for your business to be sustainable. And once I was able to identify the components of each individual's business, then I was able to customize the business plans for their growth and development. I prefer to work with existing businesses that already have a platform and a market and they just want to do a little bit of shifting in their development or grow their target market. But I'm fond of the newer businesses, but I get emotional.
Really?
Yeah, like they're babies.
In what way?
Like they're my babies.
You get attached to them.
I kind of a little bit. I don't, well, now they know, but I try not to tell my clients. I get emotionally involved. I really want them to succeed.
But it's a good thing.
I feel passionate about what it is that they're trying to develop, and sometimes more than they do.
Yeah.
With the business that I'm in, it can be very rewarding, and then it can be a little disappointing because everybody is not as engaging as they say they profess to be.
Right.
So the things that you can see, like all these grandiose ideas and all this big bells and whistle stuff, they don't even understand part one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's more so
Just no, I think the problem with people starting a business and stuff is often because, you know, you go after your passion, maybe you're creative and you figure, oh, I'm going to make these this jewelry or something, or I'm going to sell this product line.
Yeah, they focus on the product or right. the service. And then
but
the
they don't
components.
Have any business training, no. you know. And the thing is that until you start making money, it's a hobby. It's not a business.
Absolutely.
And so in order, people are great at their hobbies, but the thing is that in order to succeed, if you want the business to succeed, you got to learn how to run a business, how to be profitable, you know, and things like that. So I think that that people need people like you.
Well, the plan helps to identify who you need to hire that will complement what you don't have.
Right.
And so that way then you can still instruct them or lead them based on your objectives, and you still don't have to concern yourself with not knowing that component, because this person is trustworthy enough to understand your mission and vision and then execute based on that. Right. But if you have no idea what is the mission and vision or what you need to instruct these people to do, then that's how you wind up screwing yourself and you don't profit the way you would like. So
right. And I think it's important to identify your weaknesses and strengths as well to succeed in life.
Absolutely.
You know? So you realized you're strong with people and everything, mm-hmm. decided to move down here. What are your plans here as far as career?
That is...
Did you think about it yet? Or are you still?
Well, I'm taking the course here for real estate.
Oh, cool.
So I think I would still love to be in the real estate market.
Yeah, and here it's fun. There's a lot of fun real estate here.
Yes,
huh?
It's beautiful. It's amazing here. I mean, and then the radio show, mm-hmm. you know, I would love to continue to take it to a very broader market and,
right.
you know, whatever it is that we have.
So you
want to
be in entertainment too, would you
of
say?
Of course.
Yeah. 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 She's like, look at me. Yeah.
We're developing several business platforms.
Yes.
And we're
going
to
yes.
use the radio show and other opportunities as a catalyst to market those as well.
Cool.
Absolutely.
So you're doing things together as far as business and things like that?
Absolutely.
Oh, very cool.
How did you meet?
Cool.
We actually met at my current job. She knows my boss. And...
I just walked up and started talking.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I told her what I do, and we've been pretty inseparable.
I know about that.
Yeah. Yeah, since then.
Wow.
It was a really nice fit. I don't know. I'm blessed to have met a really great person.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. So you told us you've been in here for only about 6 months, right?
Yes.
So you've known each other for about 6 months,
yes.
for about that long.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and you already built a pretty good bond. I mean, you guys do things together. Apparently, you have to trust each other and stuff to be able to do things like that. You're very fortunate. You know?
Absolutely.
That's very good. You know, we were talking about entrepreneurs and everything and books and stuff. So I wanted to tell you, I got this new book called Entrepreneurial Strengths Finder. And they have like an online test that you can take, an assessment test that tells you what your strengths and your weaknesses are.
Oh, interesting.
And I took it and it was like, it just like... I mean, it wasn't like revolutionary for me because I know pretty much what I'm strong at, but it confirmed some of the things I felt, you know, and stuff. And so it turned out, though, I mean, it really clarified things for me. And I realized that, or it confirmed that I'm a person that likes to do things on his own. Yeah, that one, that mm-hmm. book. You definitely should get that one.
And what's the website where you take the quiz?
They tell you from the book, but the book is called Entrepreneurial Strength Finder.
So there's a one just for like it's Strength Finder, and that's a red book.
Exactly,
and that's that one, and I guess that's the
that's
one.
A new one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's more geared toward entrepreneurs. And I realized that my strength, really, on the one hand, is doing things. When I want something, I just go out and do it, you know. I don't look for other people to do it for me. I just do it, and I learn how to do it, and I do it. But the converse side of this is that you also need people around you to succeed.
Absolutely.
You know.
Right.
You can't do it on your own. And you need to be able to know how to delegate better. You see, that's one thing that's hard for me is to delegate because I figure, you know, I can do it better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't run a business like mm-hmm. this. You're only one person.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So you have to be very, I think, fortunate and smart in finding the people that work for you.
Yeah. And you definitely know? In LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people that actually compliment what you have, not people like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People that sometimes the opposite
important.
Of you.
Yeah. Most important.
Yeah, you know. So, for example, I someone like me would need someone who's like out with the people all the mm-hmm. time, like in sales and stuff, mm-hmm. you know. Because although I tend to be a great salesperson, I can sell my company great, I don't enjoy it. And I don't, you know, and if I had to sell somebody else's products, I don't think I could do it very well.
Right.
So,
right.
So you need somebody who's more a people person that can balance it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why in partnerships also, I think, you know, often people go, oh, I need to find someone I get along with. Yeah, that's true too. I mean, it's like a marriage, you right. know. But at the same time, you need someone who's got the strengths that you don't have.
There has to be a system of checks and balances
yeah.
in the partnership. So yeah. that means that where you're weak, then the other is strong. Or where you're,
stronger,
you know, yeah. educationally, where you lack some information, then that person should be able to make up for that. So
right.
mm-hmm. there has
that's
to be
true.
A balance.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you do in your experience people that that do not have partners that do very well, but they still have to have the employees, they have to have the people around them.
Absolutely.
You don't have to have
very
a partner
important.
To succeed.
Right, absolutely.
Right, because you can, again, you can surround yourself with
you
great
have,
people.
But you do have to have some sort of support system.
Right, yeah, you can't do it on your own.
It may not necessarily be a partner that you can say is your 50-50 equivalent, but it has to be a support system.
Right.
You know?
At least a good manager, a good reliable manager or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool. So you came from a big family, you said?
Yes.
How many
yes,
siblings
yes, yes.
do you have?
Well, I only have one little brother, and I want to say that I'm so super proud of him. He just got his driving permit
oh,
today.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Yes. I know.
A young brother, that's
and I
cool.
told him he can't drive my car. but I have seven aunts.
Wow.
Wow.
And they all have
kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it is a big family.
Yes. They all have children, a lot of them. And they have kids.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So your brother's pretty young, so mm-hmm. were you like the only child for a while?
Yes, I was the only child for 10 years.
So what was that like? I mean, did you feel, do you feel pressure now being the firstborn and all that? Because I know sometimes when you're the firstborn, a lot is expected of you, you know, just like an only child too, you know, although
right.
only children have some, they get some discounts along the way, I think, you know?
No, I've always been very headstrong.
Mm-hmm.
So when my little brother came along,
uh-huh.
I was just like, this is my baby. So I'm very protective over him.
Yeah.
And I've never, I don't think there's pressure on me
right.
to do good or be good. Uh-huh. I put the pressure on myself. I think I'm okay. my biggest critic.
Right.
So I have that, you know, I have to do this.
Right.
Like you said, you do it, you get it done, and
right.
that's it. That's
yeah.
me. So I don't have that yeah. from my family.
Right.
But they are very supportive.
Right. No, I mean, I don't mean it that way. What I mean is that it does make you independent, you
yeah.
know, and stuff like that, because you are the only one.
Yeah.
You know, you're the only one around. You got to carry your own weight and stuff, you know,
yeah,
pretty
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely.
What about you, Lanisha? I mean, I'm sorry, go
it's
ahead.
It's okay. I was just going to say, do you miss being away from home?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. My family's here for 2 months in the summer, so it's really good to have that. Like home here, and when
yeah.
they left, I was in tears.
Really?
Yes, I think I cried for all of 3 hours.
Wow!
It was really hard to see them leave. But
wow! So, are you dealing with it better now?
Probably not.
No.
I mean, my mom and my grandmother and my brother, we talk every day.
Every day, huh?
Every day.
I can imagine. Yeah,
but
Charlotte does too. You know,
mm-hmm. yeah,
I talk to
her mom every day.
And like
yeah.
you were saying earlier, you know, you can't wait to take your mom here.
Right.
It's going to be good.
Yeah,
that's good. It's nice good. To know there's people that are close to their families.
Yes.
And stuff, you know, Lanisha, what about you? Big family?
Huge. Seven aunts, six uncles. But my mom left Mississippi before I was born, so it's kind of distant between they all went to their separate places in the United States. And so it's kind of just us. I, too, am 16 years difference from my brother.
Oh,
Oh, really?
Yes, wow. Yeah, so it's pretty.
Is that from the same marriage?
No.
Different marriages. Okay, yeah. So that makes more sense, you know, mm-hmm. because otherwise it's usually an accident, you know, when you have when you have such a big gap between yeah. people.
Yeah, well.
You know, nobody after 16 years goes, well, let's have a baby now.
Yeah, so that's how that works. And, yeah. So there's a different responsibility there because I'm kind of more like a mother figure.
A second mom.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Are you first born also?
Yeah, I'm first born.
How many siblings do you have?
Just the one brother.
Oh, just the one brother. Mm-hmm. So it's the same for both of you. Wow, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so your brother is also younger than you are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah,
he's currently in college and he's taking care of his, I guess, man responsibility. So
very cool. Well, yeah, it's time. When you get to college, it's about time to start taking responsibility.
Yes.
I know. My kids are learning that now the hard way.
It yeah. happens sometimes.
Yeah. You have to. I mean, you know, you just gotta jump right in and start doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And what you have to do also, you know. So, so you guys met, like, through work and stuff like that. Now, so how do you guys, like, work? Do you work together as well? I mean, as far as, like, because you're in real estate, you're more in business consulting.
Mm-hmm.
So do your careers mesh at all?
Well, I, too, have knowledge of the real estate industry. I have worked with investors. I have a slew of them that have criteria that they need filled, so it's easy because she already understands that market and industry for us to work together in that category, as well as with business. It's more so of a creative thing, and as we get projects or as we build out more clients, it's more so just going step by step to synchronize our ideas. So one of the things that we, you know, use as our tool, of course, is time management. We have to use the time that we have available
right.
to build our processes. So it's not, we work together just fine. No,
yeah. It's like, she's like family. My grandmother calls her granddaughter. And
very cool.
Wow.
Very
yeah.
cool.
So you've really got a connection. You said earlier that with the show, the radio show, you'll be using it to promote other things. What other things do you have in the works or that you're planning on? Or can't you say?
I don't think we should.
Well, okay, don't let the cat out of the bag yet. Yeah. That's okay. See, that's a good question.
That was a
when
great
they can't
question.
Answer, when they can't answer, it's
no
a good question.
But we will, over time, we'll roll out, you know, various events mm-hmm. and various services and various things that we'll be producing and working on and with our colleagues as well. So, I mean, we'll give you a heads up.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's cool. So if people wanted to get a hold of you, how can people get a hold of you, you know, for business help, real estate, things like that?
Okay. So, of course, our email address is smithcustomelite@gmail.com. You can send us an email 24 hours a day there. You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Lanisha B. Smith and Nicole Smith were there. Twitter, I'm also Lanisha B. Smith. I'm not sure.
My Twitter is @signing_boobs.
Okay.
It's breast cancer.
I sign autographs. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, you have to save the tatas.
Mm-hmm.
Wait
a really
minute.
Big campaign
I think I saw a tweet from you.
Yes.
And I'm going,
yes,
who
yes.
is this? Okay, now
yes.
putting it together. Okay.
Yes. I just that's what I was doing on my phone. I was doing a little promotional campaign on Twitter. So
oh, okay,
I
cool.
put Sam at Sam in the morning.
Okay, cool. So now awesome. I know who the
at the, signing boobs.
At signing boobs, yeah. Yes. Signing boobs.
Yeah, so
I thought
also,
it was a guy, actually.
Oh, no. So also on LinkedIn, you can kind of get a little bit of our bio and history, and I can be found at Lanisha B. Smith.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Now, yeah. do you find LinkedIn effective in business?
I find it a very effective tool.
Really? Because I don't use it. I mean, I've got so many followers, I don't even use it. But I guess it would be good, right? Because it like keeps it on a business level.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you can do targeted searches if you're looking to connect with certain people or in certain industries. You can just kind of type in real estate or type in investor. You can join various groups and network with people that have similar interests.
Right.
As well as you can promote your products and services
right.
for free. They have, you know, other premium platforms, but I really think that it is a very good tool for business professionals.
Right. I agree. Absolutely. I think it's a beneficial.
Yeah. It just, you have to sift through all the spam and stuff. I mean, people, like, almost all the messages I get is people just sending me unsolicited stuff. You know, it's like, check out this, check out that. You know, it's like, come on, you know.
Right. So instead of actually building that relationship. You know, that relationship with people, because that's really important.
Well, LinkedIn is a relationship building site.
That's true,
I guess the spam is undesirable because it's more so that you can put the email, the phone number, you can just pick up the phone and dial people if you're in there.
Their network.
Mm-hmm. So it's much better to just do that and say, hey, can you try out my product or service, instead of sending the spam. So that would make it undesirable.
That's true.
When you join groups that are specific, you also get information from people. Then you can tell kind of what their expertise is and how you can target them if you want to communicate with them or do projects or something.
Yeah.
So I really think it's a useful tool.
Very cool. So do you have a name for the company? Is that the name of the company? Smith Custom Elite.
You know what? We have 379 Inc. right now. Yes. That is our main branch company. And then we have various projects up under that as subsidiaries. And Smith Custom Elite is one of them.
So
they'll be branching out.
Do you have a website?
Yeah.
We do.
379 Inc. But it's actually, we have our
computer techs fixing everything and making sure the maintenance is correct and the, you know, HTMLs
and we're adding a directory, so we're getting him to put that together for that. So
but it's 379inc.com and also smithcustomelite.com.
Okay. And so this begs the question, what does 379 mean?
379, those are principles that we have established that we use to run our life. And there's three mantras that we kind of stick to, and there's seven mores and nine levels of wisdom that we focus on. So that's something that you'll get when you go to the website. And, of course, we'll be giving more insights on that on the radio show as well, because we found that a lot of people that we service and come across, they're able to use these components, and it's very effective for how they run their lives and their businesses as well. So we'll be incorporating that as time goes on.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Now, Nicole, do you have any aspirations in entertainment and stuff? I mean, you've got the look, you've got the attitude. Which direction are you going to take?
Well,
are
since
you
little,
acting at all?
I do a little acting. I've done acting when I was in college. I started probably really little, but when I was small, I used to stand up on the bed and, like, say, I could do that. And I was like, Arsenio Hall. I was doing all that. And now I guess when I started growing up, I wanted to be, like, the next Halle Berry. And so I'm just really taking it all in. You know, we have a lot going on, and whichever avenue
opens,
and if it comes, it comes, you know.
You don't have a strong New Jersey accent. Have you worked on it?
No.
No? That's just how your accent is?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always... I guess my mom, she put me on Hooked on Phonics when I was really small, so I guess that has a lot to do with, you know, speaking and dialect, and I took a couple dialect classes in college, and
What did you take in college? What was your major?
Well, I started in psychology, and then I switched to video editing, and then I switched to criminal justice, and none of those really suited me specifically. There was no real estate major in New Jersey. There's none of that. But here there is.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't really think about coming to California until 6 months ago.
And in college, you learn new things. So you decide, okay, I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to be this.
But I feel like when you go to college, you teach yourself.
Right.
You know, the teacher tells you what pages they want you to do. And
And they don't do a lot of work, these teachers.
No. And so I think I taught myself a lot. You know, being 13 and being in real estate, I've learned enough for college and a PhD in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I might not have that specific degree in it, but I do have a degree in it if I say so myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, check out the show. It's Smith Custom Elite Radio, and it's on Channel 1 here on Mondays at 7 p.m. You guys started, 2 weeks ago, right? Or was it last week?
No, our first show was Monday.
Monday.
Congratulations.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. We will be picking up more shows come 4 weeks.
Okay.
So
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so everybody, for everybody who wants to check out, you can get more information, obviously, on business and
financial
life
planning.
And financial planning and everything. You can't go wrong with the show. Two beautiful women, smart, business savvy. What else can you say? Right?
Definitely. Yeah.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you having us on.
Of course. So, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Lanisha, you
thank
have to
you.
Come to our show too, Sam.
I
and
will.
Charlotte.
Love
yeah.
you.
Absolutely. Okay. Invite us and we'll come.
Okay, we'll do.
And
thank you for having us.
Of course. No problem. And so this is it for today. This is it for this week, actually. That's true. Let's not forget. Lest we forget, it's Friday.
Yay, can't forget Friday. That.
Oh, I heard it's Friday now.
Friday?
Like Friday, but fry like yay.
Oh, okay. Okay, get it.
I thought you were saying way, and I was like, I don't
did.
Get it. But then Frye.
But as an actress,
got
yeah.
it.
Go with the Frye.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you on Monday.
Morning radio. Tune into Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.